story ever told. Amen. Thank God for the story of Jesus. Amen. Greatest story ever told. Well, I'm going to continue back into James tonight. We're going to get back into looking at that. I want to say this before I get started. I got a new suit on, if you hadn't noticed, and you probably haven't. But I had a couple people come to me. Have y'all ever seen those things on, like, they come on social media? And it's like, a while back, there was a dress, I think it was. And it was, like, a color, and some people saw it black and blue, and some people saw it gold and whatever. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? There was something else, a dress, and then there was something else. What was it? Flip-flops? I knew there was one recently that kind of after the dress. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And people saw it different. I think I bought a suit like that. I've had numerous people come up to me and say to me, I like your new blue suit. And then I've had numerous people come up to me and say, I like your new gray suit. And so evidently this suit is like that dress, and it depends on how your eyes work. Who sees it as blue? Any blue? Blue? Look at this. Look at the hands. Blue. How many of you see it as gray? See what I'm talking about? Okay, so predominantly gray, but there are some blues here, right? And so that's interesting. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. I had numerous people say, I like your blue suit, and I was like, man, it's supposed to be gray. But but no, I think it's kind of blue myself. I kind of had that argument with my family. I was like, I think this suit's blue. They were like, it's gray. I was like, no, I think it's blue. But anyway, so I'm with you blues, okay? I kind of think it looks blue too. Got that out of the way. All right, we're going to get into the important stuff now. Get back into the book of James tonight. And looking at what I believe could be the key to the book of James. Many people believe that verse number 22 is the key verse to the book of James. If you were to look at some New Testament surveys of the book of James, many people would say that James 1:22 is kind of like the key that unlocks the book. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but either way, I think it's a very important truth that's in the book of James. And so verse number 22 says this. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And as we've already looked at so far in the book of James, and as we will continue to look further into the book of James, we're going to see that James is a book of action. James is, if you'll recall back when we first started this series, I talked about James as a very practical book, right? It's something that is applicable to our lives. There's very many practical truths in the book of James. Some of you may not realize it. You probably do, but many people, if you were to ask them, what's one of your favorite books in the New Testament? Many people will say the book of James. Some people say Philippians. But a lot of people say the book of James, and you may pick a different one. But I think the reason is because the book of James is a book that you can read through, and it's very practical, right? It's very poignant. You don't have to do a whole lot of deep thinking to understand what's being said. James is kind of to the point, and it's very practical, and it's something you can put into your life every day. And so James 1:22, James says that. He says, be doers of the word. Put it to practice in your life. And so if you'll recall 2 weeks ago before the meeting with Brother Moore, we looked at verse number 20. We looked at verse number 21 and verse number 22, and we kind of talked about how that James gave some instructions, right? He said there's some things that we need to remove from our lives. Look at verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart, right? He said there's some things that you've got to remove out of your life. And then he said there's also some things that you need to receive or replace in your life. In verse number 21, he said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And then the last point that we looked at was then he said you've got to respond or react, right? Verse 22, but be doers of the word. It's not enough just to receive the word, right? Not enough just to get the instructions. I use the illustration of my guys right when I finished out the message 2 weeks ago. If I were to give them instructions on what I would like to see done on the job when I'm not going to be there, it wouldn't do any good if they memorized the instructions if they didn't do them, right? You're given instructions at work tomorrow, and you could memorize those instructions and not do anything all day, and your boss show up and say, did you get my instructions for today? Oh, yeah, I got them. I memorized them. What part you want me to tell you about, right? I know them great. It doesn't do any good if you don't do anything with them. And that's what James is saying. He says, so you got to remove some things, you got to receive some things, and then you got to respond to those things, right? And so James goes on and he gives an illustration. I gave you my illustration last week, well, 2 weeks ago. Tonight we're going to look at James's illustration. James gives us an illustration. Now, I believe it's James by the inspiration. You understand what I'm saying, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God's given us the illustration, right? Look in verse number 23. He's going to illustrate what has just been said. He says in verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, right? He's still talking about that man that receives the word of God. He hears the word of God. Any man be a hearer of the word of God and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, you understand that glass would be like what we would call a mirror, right? James is talking about a mirror here. He says, like a man that looks into a glass. Some people believe that it was a literal glass. Some people believe it was a piece of bronze metal. But either way, it's a mirror that James is talking about. He's like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I was debating on whether I was going to mention this, but I couldn't help it, and I just kept thinking about it, Pastor, when I was preparing this message. We were riding down the road. It's not even going to have a whole lot of application to the message, a little bit, but you'll still appreciate it. We were riding down the road on vacation a couple years ago, and I was sitting in the back seat. I think it was me, Brian, and Adam maybe in the back seat. And out of nowhere, we're having conversation, talking, you know, carrying on. And out of nowhere, Brian just interrupts the conversation and says, is that me? I mean, just as serious as he could. He said, is that me? And we were like, what are you talking about? Y'all thinking he's like, is that me? No, that ain't what he was doing, right? He had glanced at the rearview mirror, and he's sitting in the back seat, and he's going, is that me? I think Brian thought he had gained some weight on vacation, right? This was near the end of the week, and we were on our way to get some Duck Donuts, and Brian is sitting in the back seat saying, is that me? And so the last couple years, we've made a joke. We said, me and Brian's gonna write a dieting book, and we're going to title it, Is That Me? Right? That's where it all began. You looked in the mirror and you said, is that me? Right? And then you began your journey, right? Well, that's kind of what James is talking about. He's talking about, you know, some of us, we look in the mirror and we say what Brian said out loud. We say to ourselves, we say, is that me? And then we do what this fella did here in the book of James. We walketh away and forgetteth what manner of man we were, right? And I said, I do that often, right? More often than I want. But James is saying, don't be that man, right? So there's two men that James gives. I believe there's two men all throughout this. I'm not going to go back and try to re-preach the messages that I've preached. Some people don't think that all this connects. I personally am under the conviction that it does. I think this goes all the way back to where James told us that of his own will, in verse number 18, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, because we are saved, because we are born again, because we have been begotten by the word of God, James says there's some things that should happen in our lives. I think James is still kind of building upon that foundation. And we talked about that last week. And he says, because you're a Christian, there's some things that should happen in your life. And now he's kind of illustrating what he's been teaching about responding to the word of God and how that we receive the word of God and how we respond to the word of God. And he gives us an illustration, and he gives us an illustration of two men. I personally believe these two men are both saved men, okay? I believe that because I think James is still building on verse 18. You understand what I'm saying? Wherefore he begat us by the word of truth. And then he goes on and he's talking about us that have been begotten by the word of truth. And he says in verse number 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he's talking about this man that hears the word of God, but he doesn't respond to the word of God. I think we're going to get into it a little bit further in verse number 26. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious to himself, that's what he's saying. He seemeth to himself to be religious. He thinks he's religious. He thinks that he is practicing his Christianity. James says, if there's a man that thinketh that and can't bridle his tongue, he can't do what he's heard he's supposed to do, then that man's religion is vain. It's empty, right? And so he's kind of contrasting two men here. And I want to contrast those two men. The first man that we're going to look at is the deceived man. And I've been that man. I don't want to be, but I have been. And it could be that man is here tonight. You could be that man. You could be that woman that is deceived. Now, I'm not even talking about being deceived about salvation, though we can deceive ourselves about salvation. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a saved Christian, a first fruit, a kind of first fruit of his creatures, someone that's been begat by his will, that's supposed to be living a changed life, supposed to be an example to the glory of God. That person can, if we're not careful, we can be deceived, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So I think a Christian can deceive themselves. A Christian can deceive themselves. So we got the deceived one, and then we got the doer, right? So we got the deceived and the doing, right? And we're going to look at those two men tonight. First one I want to look at is deceived. Look at verse number 23. We've already read it. For if any man be a hearer of the word, right? If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's not doing, he's deceived, right? He's already laid that foundation in verse 22. He says, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is the first point I want to make about that deceived person. You know, I don't know that I've ever looked at James, this verse this way before. I've preached from this verses of scripture to our teens many times, maybe even preached it in the pulpit. I don't know. It's very popular verses of scripture. Many of you have heard it preached. I don't know that I've ever looked at it from this angle before, and it wasn't until really just today that I even saw this actual point right here. But the thing that I want to notice about this man that is deceived is this, the fact that he is conscious, right? He, you say, what do you mean by conscious? He's aware. Look at verse 20, 24. He beholdeth himself. So he looked in the mirror, right? He did what Brian done. Is that me? Right? He's done what I've done many times as I've looked into the mirror to get ready for church or to get ready for work. He's conscious of what he saw. He beholdeth himself. He looked at himself. So this man, that's another reason I believe this man is a saved man, because he's not somebody that's not conscious of the truth. He's not somebody that's not aware of what's going on. He knows what's being said. You see that? He said the man that looketh into the mirror and goeth away, he said he beholdeth himself. He sees himself in the mirror. He's conscious of what's going on, right? He's aware of what's happening. You know, James is saying that this man is conscious. He saw himself, right? He hears the word of God. The same way that there's some people here tonight, you hear the word of God. Right? You're aware of what's being preached. You're conscious to the scriptures. There's some people that are not. They don't know. They've never heard, right? They don't know what saith the scriptures. They don't know what the Bible teaches. But I believe James is talking to some people that do know, that have heard, that have seen, that have looked into the mirror. And so number one, we see he's conscious. Number two, I think this is important. I think he's complacent. Look at verse number 24. He beholdeth himself, so he sees himself. He's conscious of the fact that of what he sees, and I think he's using this the word of God as a mirror here. He's conscious of what the word says. He's aware of it, but he goeth his way. He's complacent. You say, what does that mean, Brother David? Well, complacent, I actually looked it up. It means this. It means it's self-satisfaction. It's basically someone who thinks they're fine, right? That's what it means to be complacent. He looks into the mirror. He sees himself. He's conscious of what's being said. He's aware of what the Bible says, but he's just complacent. He's satisfied. He doesn't see the need to respond to what it says. You ever been there? You ever been to the place in your Christian life where you just got complacent? I think if we're not careful, we can live there. We can get to the place in our Christian lives where we're like this man that James is talking about here in the book of James, in James chapter number 1, that when we look into the mirror, we're conscious of what it says. We know what the Bible says. We hear the word of God, right? But we're just complacent. We're satisfied. We think, I don't need that. Right? I'm satisfied with where I am. I don't know that they need that. Right? So-and-so needs that. But I don't really need that. I'm good. I think if we want to continue with our analogy, sometimes that's what happens to me, Brother Brian, when I look in the mirror and see myself. I get complacent. Right? I'm good. I'm all right. Right? Y'all say, get off that, all right? Yeah, I know y'all don't want to use that analogy anymore, right? That one really hits home. But if we're not careful, we'll do the Bible that way. We'll hear the word of God. We'll know what it says, but we'll think, it's not for me. I'm satisfied. So we see he's conscious. He hears the truth. He's complacent. He goeth his way. He doesn't seem to be very concerned. He thinks he's okay. And then I'll go beyond that. I'm going to say he's careless. Look at verse number 24. It says, he goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. He's just, not only is he complacent, and he's like, oh man, I'm okay. I know what the Bible says. I know the preacher preached that, but I'm all right. And then he goes his way, and it's almost as if he doesn't even care. He just forgets what was said. He gets up and he hears the message preached, right? He understands what's been said. Thinks that's not for me, that's for someone else. Complacent, satisfied. Goes about his day and just forgets. Just careless. Doesn't apply to me, right? And forgetteth what manner of man he was. James says, this man, and my last point, is confused. That's what he says. He says, this man deceiveth himself. I wonder if you've ever been that man. Deceiving your own self. I hope that's not your attitude tonight. But you know, if we're not careful, it can be. When we come to church and we hear the word of God, we hear it, right? You're all here. You're conscious. You're awake. You're hearing the word of God. But if we're not careful, be complacent. We'll think, I'm all right. That doesn't apply to me. And then you know what the next step is? We'll leave church and we won't even care. Right? We'll be like this man right here and we'll just be careless. It won't even matter what we heard at church. Right? James says that man is confused. That man is deceiving himself. Let's not deceive ourselves. And so let's say, so I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to deceive myself when it comes to the word of God. So what can I do? Well, James tells us what to do. He tells us about the doer. Let's look at him. Verse 25, he says, but whoso? He says, all right, I'll tell you about that man that is deceived, that man that's confused, that's careless, that's complacent, that man that is conscious. He hears the word of God, but he doesn't do anything with it. He said, now I want to tell you about that other man. I want to talk to you about that man that's doing the word of God. Not that man that's deceived, but that man that's doing. In verse number 25, he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, I'm not going to get into the perfect law of liberty tonight, but there's a lot of preaching right there. James, there's so much there. This section is so packed. You could preach a month on just these verses, right? Probably longer than that. But the perfect law of liberty. You know, James, you remember who James is writing to, right? Or who we believe his first audience was, mainly Jewish Christians, right? Now, not all, but predominantly Jewish Christians. And they were under the law, right? But Jesus had come to fulfill the law. Remember we were in the Sermon on the Mount?
James is very closely connected to the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of similarities between the book of James. You see some even in this passage right here. A lot of similarities between the book of James and the Sermon on the Mount. And James says it's the perfect law of liberty. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's been perfected. Jesus come, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. I came to perfect the law. And James says you've got the perfect law of liberty. And it's not a law. You know the Old Testament law? You know what the Old Testament law did? The Old Testament law would bring people in bondage. And James says it's not the Old Testament law that binds people. It's the New Testament law of liberty that frees people. You see that? It's the law of liberty. James says when you look into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Right? See, the word of God will set us free. And that's what James is talking to these people about. He's saying you've been living under the law all these years. These Jewish people, they knew the law. And James says, no. This is a different law. This law has been perfected. It's the perfect law. It's the law of liberty. James says, you're free now. And see, sometimes we're not careful. We think, oh, this book right here, it binds us. No, it frees us. The Bible frees us. And so James says, the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty, the man that looks into the word of God. No doubt James is talking about the word of God here. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So let's look at the doer. I'll tell you what I think about the doer. So that deceived one, he was conscious. He was aware. You know what the doer is? He's conscientious. He's conscientious. You say, what does that mean? Well, conscientious, I looked that up too. It means he's thorough, careful, right? That's what conscientious means. It's thorough. So he's not just aware of what it says. He's attentive. You understand? He's conscientious. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and he's not a forgetful here. No, he is very conscientious. He wants to do what the word says do. He wants to be thorough. He wants to really, really study himself, right? The Bible says study ourselves, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. This man, he says, this man that beholdeth himself, he said, that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He's conscientious, right? He's thorough and careful. He's aware, right? The other man was aware. He's attentive. He really wants to know what it says. So number one, he's conscientious. Number two, he's consistent, or he's continuous. Look at it, verse 25. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. It's not just one look and go. No, he looks, and he looks, and he looks, and he just continues to look. If you look that word continue up, you know what it means? It means to abide. Do you continue? I believe you do. Do you continue in the Word of God? Can I tell you, if the only time, and I mean this, I doubt it's many people like that, like this in this church, but if the only time that you get into this book is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that because that's what James is saying. James is saying that man that looks and then walks away and forgets and doesn't come back until the next time, he says he's deceiving himself. He's confused. But that other man that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he just keeps on looking and keeps on looking and keeps on studying and keeps on abiding and keeps on giving his undivided attention to the word of God. James says that man's going to be blessed in his deed. We'll see that in a moment. So he says this man is consistent, right? I thought you, Pastor, you mentioned Brother Moore getting into your preaching. I thought he was getting into mine. Psalm 1. I believe James is referencing, I really do, the more I study it, I believe James is giving some reference to Psalm 1 here. In numerous ways, he gives reference to Psalm 1. You remember Psalm 1? He talks about in the second verse, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The perfect law of liberty. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. continues, abides. He's consistent in the Word of God. He says that he shall meditate in the Word of God day and night. He says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Right? James is saying, hey, you want to be blessed in your deed? You want to prosper? Then you get in the Word and just continue in the Word. And be consistent in the Word. Every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, on Monday, on Tuesday. Can stay in the Word of God. Continue in the Word of God. But don't just hear the Word of God. It's not enough. You got to do it. You got to respond to it. And that's the next point. Not only is conscientious, he's thorough and careful. Not only is he consistent and continueth therein, but he is compliant. Look at verse number 25. It says he continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, look at it, but a doer of the work. He's compliant. He does what the Bible says to do. Are we doers or are we deceived? Only you can answer that question for yourself. It's one or the other. Either you're a doer, like James is talking about here, or you're deceived. You're hearing the Word of God. You know what's being said, but you're complacent, and then leads to carelessness, which leads to confusion, and you think, I'm okay. And James says, no, you're not okay. No, I'm not okay if I get to that place. What we have to be is conscientious. We have to be consistent. We have to be compliant. We have to do what the Bible says do. If not, we're deceiving ourselves. I know this is simple preaching. I mean, I know this is like, you're probably thinking, Brother Dave, you should preach this to the kids. I know, but I think us big kids need it too. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're real good at hearing the Word of God. But we're not so good at doing it. We can get real complacent, real quick, real careless, think we're okay. James says, nah, you're not okay. You need to let the Word of God change you. Just like that mirror. What good is it if we look into a mirror and we see our hair's messed up, those of you that got it, and we don't do anything about it? I recall just one time here, Reese, I can't remember where it was. I was trying to think, Meredith. I can't remember where it was. We were getting ready to go somewhere, and I remember looking into the mirror and thinking to myself, I need to shave. And I don't know. I got to going somewhere, and we got out somewhere, and I can't remember. I don't think it was church, but it was somewhere. We were going somewhere pretty like going to somebody's house or doing something, and we got going down the road, and I don't even know what happened. Maybe I grabbed my phone when I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I had like way beyond a 5 o'clock shadow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hadn't shaved since Sunday morning. It's Tuesday or something like that. You know what I mean? And for some of y'all, that don't matter, but old Santa here, it gets looking rough, right? And so, I mean, I felt my face, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I haven't shaved, right? And I remember looking in the mirror and telling myself, you need to shave. And then I got busy and I was doing something else. And next thing you know, I've done gone on. What good's it do to look in the mirror if we're not going to do what we see? Right? That's pointless. To look in the mirror and see that your hair's messed up, to see that you need to shave, to see that you've got sleepers in your eyes or food in your teeth, right? And to just kind of smile and walk away and be like, I'll get it later, and forget, right? That's not going to help, okay? That's not good. That's what James is saying here. He's saying you need to be compliant. You need to do what the Word of God says. And if you do, he says there's compensation. Look at verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Right? He says when you do what the Word of God says, there's a blessing. Brother Moore preached it out of Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. When we get in the Word of God and we comply with the Word of God, we respond to the Word of God, we react to the Word of God, the Bible says that whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Reminds me of Joshua. I won't have you turn there, and I would try to quote it, but I can already tell tonight that that's not going to do good, right? Joshua chapter 1, but verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Same thing James is saying, right? The law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty. This book of the law, right, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Continue, consistent, abiding in the word of God. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, comply with it, right? You see that? Observe to do. Right? It's not enough just to meditate in the Word of God. It's not enough just to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to observe to do all that is written therein. You've got to respond. You've got to act on what is preached. And then he says this. He says, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. That's what James is saying. Same thing Joshua said. Same thing Psalm says. Same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, I'll tell you two men, right? One heard my word and didn't do the word. He's like a man that built his house upon the sand. The other man, he heard my word. He did what the word said. And when the storm came, it stood because his house was built upon the rock. Same thing. James is saying the same thing that Jesus said, that the psalmist said, that Joshua said, that the word of God says. If we want to have a blessed life, if we want to be content, you could say, we've got to comply with the word of God. We've got to be conscientious. We've got to be consistent. We've got to comply, and then we will be compensated. God will bless our work. That's what he says in verse number 25. He says, the doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I think he's saying while he's doing it. God says, I will bless you in your deed. While you're in the midst of doing what I said do, I'm going to bless you for it. God says, I will bless obedience. I believe that with all of my heart. I told my son Adam last week, he's playing basketball down here, youth league basketball in Madison, and their first practice was last week, Monday night. How about that, right? That's just the way it goes, isn't it? First practice, Monday night. I had to call the coach and tell him we're not going to be there. And I mean, Adam was disappointed. I was disappointed. I might have been just as disappointed as he was. I hate he missed his first practice. But you know what I told him? I said, son, God will bless obedience. God will bless obedience. Don't you worry about that. God, the hand of the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. If God's got the king's heart in his hand, can I tell you he's got the coaches too? God will bless obedience. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's on the ball field, whether it's out in the community, whether it's in your family, God blesses obedience. He said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Many of you know this. You've experienced it. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll forget it. We'll be like that first man. We'll be a forgetful here. And we'll forget. We'll get complacent and we'll get careless. And then rather than be compensated, rather than be blessed, rather than be content, you know, we'll be confused. We'll think we're okay. And the whole time, we're not. That man thought he was okay. I really believe that man thought he was okay. That looked and walked away and forgot what manner of man he was. He thought he was okay. I think that's the same man he's talking about in verse number 26. Look at it. Verse number 26, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious, if you really study that out, it means seemeth to himself. He thinks he's religious. He said, if any man thinks he's religious, seemeth to be religious, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, look, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. I think he's talking about that same man. That first man. That deceived man. He's deceiving his own heart. Right? He thinks he's okay. He's confused. I've been there. If I'm not careful, I'll be there again. And he says, that man, he's confused, right? But verse 27, he says, but pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. That's who it's before. That's who we're doing it for, brother. The Father. James says before God and the Father. Pure religion before God and the Father, not before man, before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we see the illustration, and I'll finish with this, and I'm just going to give them to you. We see the implication. What's implied here, I believe, is that James is kind of giving us, he's kind of continuing this same thought, and he's saying, it's as if he gives us a couple examples that we can all understand. I don't think personally that this is the only description of pure religion. Maybe you do. I don't think what James just said in verse 26 is the only description of pure religion. I think it's kind of like an umbrella description. James is just kind of applying. It's what he does constantly. He applies the truth. He's just kind of applying the illustration that he just taught, and he's saying, hey, you want to know, you want to test whether or not you're a doer or whether you're deceived. He said, how about your speech? Are you good at controlling your speech? And I'm not going to preach that because we're going to get into that later in James. We're actually going to get into all these things later in James. I really believe James chapter 1, this is kind of the end of his introduction, and he's getting ready to get into the heart of the message in chapter number 2. But he says, you want to know if you're a doer or you're deceived? Can you control your speech? Because if you can't control your speech, if you can't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving yourself. Because you know the Bible says you're supposed to. James has already told us to be slow to speak. We looked in Proverbs how often the Bible, these people, these Jewish people, they knew the book of Proverbs. They know about what the book of Proverbs says about the tongue. And James says, if you don't do what the book of Proverbs says about your tongue, it doesn't matter if you memorized it. You can memorize the whole book of Proverbs, but if you don't respond and react to it, then it's useless to you. And so he says, don't, and I'm not, please don't try to put words in my mouth. I'm not saying don't memorize the word. I'm saying if you memorize the word, do it so you can observe it. Live it out. Those Pharisees, they knew it, but they didn't do it. Right? Remember Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount? Those Pharisees, they knew the law, but they didn't do it. So James says, hey, do what it says. He says, can you control your words? He says, do you comfort the weak? Right? Look at it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction. Won't go into it, but I think you know. In that day, fatherless and widows were weak. Orphans and widows, they were poor people. They didn't have a way to make money. And James says, what are you doing for them? What are you doing for those that are in need? What are you doing for those that are weak? So he says, can you control your words? Do you comfort the weak? And then are you clean from the world? Keep himself unspotted from the world? He talked about our speech. He talked about our service. He talked about our separation. James says, you want a real good test or not? I think that's what James is kind of doing. He kind of gave us an illustration in the mirror, and then he was like, all right, here, I'll test you. How's your speech? How's your service? How's your separation? How you doing? That's tough, isn't it? Are you deceived? Are you confused? Are you a doer of the word? I believe that's what James is teaching. I don't know about you, but I want to be a doer. I want to do what the word of God says. I like how it says he that's a hearer of the word. In verse 22, I think it is. I've shut my Bible. But then he says, a doer of the word. You know what the word will make you do? Work. The word of God will get you involved in the work of God. And so do what the Bible says do. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet if you would. I'm going to have the pianist begin to play, and I don't know. I honestly don't know how that truth was present it right there. I'm just being honest with you. But I can tell you this, as I was studying it, God was dealing with me. I'm afraid sometimes the longer we're saved, the more complacent we can get. We begin to get self-satisfied. Think we're okay. Think every message that's preached is for somebody else. No, it's for us. It's not enough just to be a hearer of the word. James says, you got to do it. You want to be blessed? You want whatsoever you doeth to prosper? You want to have good success? I don't mean in the world. I don't mean making a lot of money. I mean with God, before God and the Father. James says, do what the Word of God says. Don't just hear.